Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life behind the scenes of a YouTube creator. It's the 6th today of January 2025. Another miserable day where it's just raining and wet and damp. I gather some people up north have had snow yesterday morning, what have you. We haven't seen any of that. People keep telling me that we're going to be snowed in, that the weather manipulators are going to cause all sorts of stuff. Well, I'm waiting to see that. It's a Monday morning. The cat is in the way. And I need to put some washing on. And I need to wash up and get the house looking reasonable. We watched a film yesterday called Black Beauty from 1971. Terrible film, really. How it ever got made, I don't know. It was most peculiar. Based very loosely on the Anna Sewell novel. But it was, I don't know whether they had to have Spanish money in it to make it. But they had some very strange scenes going on. Anyway, Julia was keen to watch that because she'd picked up a Ladybird book when we went to the charity shop. Black Beauty, and wanted to sort of share it with her children, and it being a classic. Now I remember the TV series, which, as I recall, is a bit like Follyfoot Farm, based basically the adventures of a horse on a farm, with I think Stacey Dawning, if I remember rightly, as the lead actress, as the young girl, but I don't really remember too much about it. I do remember, of course, the amazing theme that a lot of people do remember. Bom, 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 that one. And of course, apparently, the 1971 film of Black Beauty was the fourth version that people had done of the book. The book was something like 1861 or something, I think, written by Anna Sewell. Anyway, it was just very interesting to watch it. Is there any hot water?
Yes.
Oh, blimey. That's amazing. I've been struggling to get hot water over the Christmas period. I can't get the Essie really hot enough for any substantially length of period. Only a couple of times have we managed, haven't we? And, because the logs are wet and damp, and the weather's been damp, and it just doesn't.
And the Essie itself is cold, the flue is cold.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to get as warm as it has in the rest of the year, which is annoying, which has made baths shallow. And, washing up in general and everything, you know, you soon end up.
It's a little bit more tricky.
Run out of hot water. And I don't have any other form of heated water. Sorry about that. I'm just putting the washing in the washing machine. Well, thank you for washing. I was going to do that.
Mm-hmm. I said to myself, I'll do that in the morning tonight. I can't be bothered to do it tonight.
Do you want me to put some cat food down?
Yes, I'm washing the bowl.
Here we are.
I've got cat food out. Oh, yeah, there's another one. Yes, please.
I put the scissors over here somewhere. So yes, it's a Monday morning, it's a rush. I've got to go down to the post office and post some books for my grandchildren. I wrote a little letter, dear grandchildren, from your dear old granddad type thing. I did write to them individually. And I need to find their address actually and stick it on. And I wrapped up, we went to a charity shop the other day and found some nice books. And the reason was really because I ordered some books online, but when they came and were delivered, the delivery driver left them outside in the rain, and they got soaked to the point that they were so useless.
So the thing is, they should have fitted through the letterbox.
You would think, yeah.
They're just paperback children's books.
Well, the other thing is, Stanley has, my son, has a little porch, doesn't he? He has a plastic door that opens into a little porch, which is, so if you've got parcels, you just open that and put it in, and then you've got the main front door, which is normally locked, obviously. And the delivery driver didn't bother to do that. He just left them leant up against the porch door and didn't put them on, in. And so, you know.
That was that.
That was that. That's, you know. Two ruined books, waste of money. Anyway, so we went to the charity shop because I wasn't going to do the same again, thinking, well, you know, I'm not going to risk it a second time. I thought, well, do it by post. Courier is different to the post. A courier won't just leave them out in the rain. They'll just try and re-deliver them another day, or they will actually probably know about the porch door because they'll be delivering parcels there all the time, sort of thing. Anyway, so that was a pain. Oh yes, it's coming up to 8:30, so a bit late with the Naked Englishman today. I've got somebody coming round at some point this morning with some kindling, which would be very nice. Good old Neil. And also a parcel that was supposed to come. Well, it did come, but we went out to the farm shop. We missed it on Friday. Was it Friday or Saturday?
Yeah. Thursday.
What was
Thursday.
That? Thursday. Well, why didn't it come on the Friday then?
Maybe.
Did the cat go out? No, he wandered up the other end of the house, didn't he?
No, wait, we went to Charlie's on Thursday.
Yeah, but we went to the...
on Saturday. Was it
Saturday? To the...
Larder,
village larder? Saturday it was.
It might have been.
Yes, it was Saturday. Anyway, yes, it was only the day before yesterday. All the days are rolling into one.
It is weird.
It is a bit strange. Anyway, I've been writing, working on the book, so I managed to get a couple of extra scenes there, but I now need to print out the plot completely and try and revise where we are, because I'm slowly now winding up towards the end, and I've got to somehow build some form of crescendo to the end of the book so that people want to get to the end of the book rather than think it's just a foregone conclusion or it peters out, which in the nature of the book is there isn't really a bunch of thieves that have stolen something that the police are after and are closing in. It's not that sort of plot. And it's, I suppose... I don't know how it's going to end, really, and that's a bit worrying, because I never know quite how these things are going to end, but the plot usually suggests itself, well, certainly with the other books that I've written. This one is a bit of a different one, because it's about solutions, and I know what the solution is, but I want it to be less, you've got to just get on with it, type thing, if you see what I mean. the house is a bit of a mess, actually. I would, actually. Another coffee, I think, please. Thank you very much. And it is a bit strange at the moment, because I'm not doing the
interviews.
Thank you, Julian. My brain is very slow. He's just up on the stairs, yes. Hello, head. Little head poking out. Did he do a poo or anything? He hasn't been out much, no.
There's a couple of little tiny nuggets left in there from before.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
You've got to use the toilet.
Yes, I must use the toilet instead of just using the cat litter tray, although it's very snug down there. And quite discreet, if nobody's in the kitchen, of course. Yes, I'm not doing the interviews at the moment, and I've suspended them, and people have been asking me, you know, oh, can I come on your show, can I come on your show? And I originally was saying to them in mid-December, oh, well, come back to me in January and we'll work something out. But now I'm still saying, look, and really until March, and even then I don't know, because so much depends on whether we actually find somewhere, which is proving extremely difficult because of the... limited amount of money we've got. I mean, you can buy bits of field, but it is more than just buying a bit of field. You need money in reserve to do something with that field, either build a house suitable enough for children. And we can't just have two rooms. You know, the kids were going to need their own rooms each, because they're of certain ages. We'll need a room. We'll need a a kitchen and some sort of living room. So it's not like so many of these people that you see who are living off-grid. There may be just one or two of them, and they don't really... Oh, their kids are very, very young, so they can almost share a room. But this is not that easy. It's just the... Oh, sorry, yeah, it won't boil.
Why can't I just click the button? I'm sure I clicked that button, and I didn't click the button. It's not boiling. Why isn't it boiling?
Mm. Not plugged in.
No energy getting there, that's why.
So, that's really frustrating and worrying, although we do have this contact that is potentially putting money into a farm, and that's been going on for 2 years that we've been sort of had at the back of our minds, which may or may not still come to fruition. In the meantime, I just feel really desperate for Julia, who's sort of running between two houses, and I can't very easily just sell my house because there is so much stuff here. And
it's not even that. Is it, where would you live in the meantime? You'd have to rent somewhere or this, yeah, that, and the other. There's just too many complications. You just need to do all in one.
Yeah, and it's really finding somewhere that we need a friendly farmer who wants to sell us some land. Oh, here goes the cat, ready into the cat litter tray to do a poo or a wee or something. Nope, he's changing his mind. Nope, not going in there. He's torn between the food now and having a poo, and he's going. He was about to get in there, but anyway, not to worry. Thank you for the coffee. Thank you so much. Anyway, so all these things are, you know, January is that sort of miserable time of year, isn't it? I'm very keen to get this book done and get the book out there. I have ideas for other books, but again, it's like, who makes money out of books? Well, the only thing that's driving me to write the book really is that I have 250,000 subscribers. So I have an audience that potentially might want to buy a book about a town that turns its back on the council and shows solutions. And if one town, smallish town with, say, 50,000 people in it, could turn their back on the government, which is the premise of the book, and show you how they do it, based on all the interviews and the truths that people have given me and what have you, and I'm sewing it all together into a narrative. If one town could do it, other towns, I'm sure, would follow, because people would see that people are actually enjoying their lives and not having bailiffs banging at the door, the council demanding council tax and all of that. And you say, well, how is that possible? How can you have an autonomous town without all the horrible demands from government and the net zero policies? Well, I do think it's possible, and I'm trying to outline it in the book as much as I can. So, anyway, I'm going to give you another bit from I Never Knew That About England before I finish. And this is a place called Kelston. And it says, the world's first water closet was designed in 1589 by Sir John Harrington. He lived from 1561 to 1612. He was a godson to Elizabeth I and installed in his house in Kelston, a first one, in Bath. It was similar in nearly all respects to the modern flush lavatory, with a reservoir of water standing in the bowl to prevent odours from the pipe and cistern for holding the water that flushed the contents away and cleansed the bowl. Harrington wrote a book about his invention called The Metamorphosis of Ajax, a pun on the word jakes, a slang word for lavatory, in which he expressed the hope that his privy, in perfection, would widely be adopted by the better sort. It could be locked to prevent unauthorised use and needed to be emptied twice a day, although once was enough, provided it was used by no more than 20 people. The book, which is full of smutty innuendos and puns, proved decidedly popular
and caused something of a scandal, resulting in Harrington being banned from court. Queen Elizabeth was, however, something of an obsessive when it came to matters of hygiene, and she had been known to take a bath once a month, whether she needed it or no. Discreetly, she asked Sir John to install one of his Johns in her palace at Richmond, and to avoid embarrassment, they agreed to refer to the device as her throne. This was the original at Kelston, where the only water closets built by Harrington. It wasn't until 1778, nearly 200 years later, that water closets were produced in quantity in London by cabinet maker Joseph Braham. So, excuse the cough, still lingering on this damn cough, which I've had enough of. Anyway, there we are. That was interesting, wasn't it? It's always an interesting moment or two somewhere buried in the Naked Englishman. You do sometimes have to sift through the chaff to get to it, but I hope that that was reasonably interesting. Another cup of coffee has been produced by the lovely Julia. Thank you very much. I made the first one as we sat in bed pondering life, the universe and everything, as we often do, sitting in bed having our warm beverage. Our ponderance took us to the mathematical calculation of which day do the bin men come. They cometh on the Monday, but then we had New Year's Day, and that pushed the cat amongst the pigeons, and now they cometh on the Tuesday, on the morrow, indeed. So they will come tomorrow and take our refuse away, which gives us another day to sort of go through the bins. And I believe it is the black bins, the normal refuse. You all right, my love?
Yeah.
Thank you for the coffee.
Your pleasure, my pleasure, you're welcome.
I'm very pleasured by it.
You're not Malcolm.
I'm not Malcolm, however. So now all I've got to do is think of a theme or a thing to do for the Daily Show. And yesterday I said I was going to do something about thinking. I can't remember what it was. Everything is... I came to a conclusion yesterday in The Naked Englishman that, of course, we only experience everything in our heads, don't we? I talked about that. And then I thought that would be... Julia was looking into my head then, see if I could experience anything.
I was checking out my ear trimming job.
Oh, I see. Yes, she did trim my ears the day before yesterday.
Not the actual ears, the hairs within them.
Oh, the hairs within, not the ears. She didn't go, your ears are getting a bit big. I think I just trim them down a bit.
I can't play lug hole harp now.
No.
Did-a-did-dig. No, it's gone.
Yes, thanks. As I've got older, the hairs, for some reason, why is it in old people, their hairs start to become more...
Faster growing,
yes.
There's all sorts of quirks like that about the body, which is quite irritating, but funny if you take it that way.
Yes, yes. It's just like, you know, couldn't you have been faster growing? Well, I suppose as a young person, you wouldn't want hairs spewing out your ears, but it does look more bizarre, I think, as the older you get. You've got no hair on your head, but it's spewing from every other orifice. Mm-hmm. Not every orifice, I should point out.
Yes, but... by that point, you're less likely to give a damn.
Yes, that's very true. You just get to the point where you go, well, whatever.
I don't care.
So, yes, and anyway, I didn't do the... I can't remember what I did. Somebody had sent me an email and what have you. It set me off on a thing for the show. And I don't know. I'm going to check my emails next and then see if there's another bit of ramshackle stuff. I just have to keep the show going. The nature of the monologues has sort of changed a bit, because for 2 years I was asking and getting the answers, I suppose, from people, why is the government trying to kill us? And, well, we know all that, and it's just more of the same. And now, of course, it means, what do you talk about? I mean, you can't keep just saying, oh, why are these 5G towers going up? Well, they're all up. And I refuse to walk on certain parts of the seafront where they have got them, because I get a wallop of the radiation when you pass them. It's absolutely true. I get a what now? I didn't
flash
think.
Flash headache.
Yes, I can feel the pressure as I approach them. So I refuse to go near these bloody things, because they are very dangerous and they're everywhere and nobody really knows why they're here. You know, there's this sort of vague notion, why are they here, to give you the internet? But are they doing any of that?
Well, they're War of the Worlds, aren't they? Those are the things that would
describe. They're sentinels that are standing there giving you a wallet. Maybe that's what I should be talking about. Why are they bloody there? Because what, you know, how do you log on to them? Do you log on to them? Our phones are not capable of 5G signals. So what is going on? Are they just sitting there sending out something to irritate people? And who is in charge of them? And who's, you know, these mysterious companies that are not registered on Companies House? Nobody's, there's been so much criticism of 5G, but nobody sort of stands up for them and says, oh, well, we're a company that operate them and we're operating them very laudably. And if you want to ask us any questions, but you don't hear that, do you? You don't hear anybody saying, oh, whereas if you said it, say, I don't know, about alcohol and pubs, and you go, well, why are people going into pubs drinking alcohol? That's very bad for them. Well, if people made that moan, you'd soon get pub owners coming out, publicans coming out saying things like, well, we offer food and we offer this and it's safe. We offer local games and we give people a meeting point and the drinks aren't as bad as you make out. We have a so many drink policy. If you get drunk, we won't sell you them. Blah, blah, blah. Somebody from the spokesman of that would soon. But you don't get that with the 5G, so maybe that's what I should talk about in the... Yeah. In the video today, I don't know. Anyway,
there is no one to step forward and go, yes, it's perfectly fine.
Yes, nobody seems to be defending them. They just go up. And it is a worry because, of course, there's all the rumours that you get that they're there to do the nanoparticles that have been injected into people's veins when they took the vaccine.
To activate them
and to control them and to send thoughts into them to make them ill. There's all of that and people... don't know whether that's true or not true. It seems the more that nobody says what the 5G are really for, it seems more plausible that it is for nefarious dealings. And yet people are walking past them and they just go, oh, yes, it's 5G. And as if, you know, you could just stick a robot, basically, with a laser gun in the town centre. And if nobody, you know, just says, oh, it's a robot with a laser gun. Oh, OK, yes, fine. And the people sort of, the non-playing characters of the world just sort of walk past as if, oh, yes, it's perfectly fine to have a robot with a laser gun aimed at me.
And then it's like, well, hang on a minute. Isn't it warfare technology that they've adapted,
yes,
quote-unquote?
Well, this is it. This is the other rumours and allegations. It's all very strange. Anyway, I've waffled on far too long. Thank you very much for listening, if you did. And if you didn't, well...
Would you like some maple syrup with that waffle?
Yes, please. Until the next one, toodle-pip.